listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering that you're listening to right now. It's me, your boy. I'm your host, Mike Carrozza, a.k.a. Don't even think about calling me that name anymore. I don't like it anymore. Don't do it. You might know me for my column on EDH Rec called Am I the Bolus? Gee, I wonder where we got the name for this podcast. And I'm joined, as always, on a mailbag episode with our super genius, super producer and editor of EDH Rec, Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan.
What's happening, Mark?
Don't do it. Mark. No, I swear to God, don't do it.
Morgan, don't do it. Don't dead name him.
I would never.
And of course, from the How They Brew It article series from his YouTube channel, which, by the way, you got to watch these videos, from everything to do with Lycids, it's Mike Solani, Michael Solani, a.k.a. Games Freak S.A.
How you doing, Mike? I've got quite the story for you after introductions are done, but why don't you go ahead and wrap things up first?
All right. So you're listening to this podcast because you know, or you don't, but now that you do know, check this out. Email us at amithebolus@gmail.com for your submissions for us to chat about on this podcast. Give us a story where you might have been the villain and you're wondering if you actually were or not. And you can also send us your pet peeves around Magic, so something we could springboard into a larger discussion. We mainly focus on the social dynamics of the game, and that is where we kind of live. But if you've got a particular card that really gets your goat, we want to understand why and we want to chat about it. Today's episode, as it has been on the entire run of the podcast, our sponsor is none other than Cardsphere.com. Cardsphere, get your cards here. Cardsphere.com, we've got a referral link in the description of the episode, like we have in every episode. If you haven't signed up by now, what are you waiting for? Use your cards as your own wallet. Trade for cards you need. Trade cards you don't use for cards you need. Make a whole freaking collection happen because you are a connoisseur. And connoisseurs enter the sphere. Get your cards here. It's Cardsphere.com. Morgan, do you have a Cardsphere story for us today?
In lieu of a personal Cardsphere story, I did want to highlight that we just had a huge update to the wants importer, or haves, excuse me.
Oh, yes.
So this happened as of recording about 2 weeks ago, but I'm still blasting it from the rooftops because it's really freaking useful.
Hell yeah.
Long story short, the CSVs now work with Scryfall IDs from Mana Box, from Moxfield, from Architect. So
huge.
If you've got Secret Lair Galaxy Toaster Popcorn treasure foils, they're going to get imported correctly. You won't have to manually edit your CSV. They're all going to go in nice and pretty, super accurate. Give it a try. This has obviously been something that people asking for since day one. It's been a huge pain in the butt cheeks to get done and set. But we had some great QA right after we got back from MagicCon Atlanta, and it is cooking, y'all. So give it a try. Yeah. Get your stuff in there. And have some fun. Just get all your Galaxy Treasure popcorn foils in there, man.
You guys can't see my desk, but I'm showing Morgan and Michael. I've been sorting through a bunch of stuff so I can pop them on Cardsphere and really get this thing going. I am looking at downsizing considerably so I can eventually move to the West Coast. And part of that is going to be putting all this stuff on Cardsphere and getting them sent out. So knowing that, considering that I've been logging things online, it's going to go a lot smoother if I can just import things. Yep. I'm so stoked about that. Shout out to the team at Cardsphere.com. And thank you so much for sponsoring us. I can't thank you enough. Cardsphere.com, everybody. Make sure you get into it. Also, Bonebox Games. We're still sponsored by those sweetie pies. Evan and Jesse really doing a great job. They make such great products. Every time I pull out my deck boxes at the LGS, because I've started using them way more frequently, they always get compliments. They look so cool. People don't like, where'd you get that? What is that? Boneboxgames.com. They work so nicely. They fit your deck exactly. They feel so nice. It's like this leathery texture to it. And it's just, it's a very good quality deck box to treat your decks to. You can use promo code BOLCAST for a discount when you're ordering. I cannot recommend them enough. I have a couple decks in their deck boxes, and they just suit the theme of the deck so well as well. It's just so perfect. And I'm really thrilled with them. Shout out to Evan and Jesse. You guys do amazing work. Can't wait to see what you guys do next, honestly. I know it's a lot of pressure, especially because you guys just put out like two deck boxes recently that were incredible, but I'm always like, what's next? It's like loving more. A band.
Need more.
Yeah, it's like, it's just like as much like I, it's the same thing as Magic preview season where you're like complaining that it's too much, but then you're like, but I'm itching. I can't believe
hit.
It.
That yeah, hit a preview.
They
that
showed
hit
us
a
little bit of TMNT and I was like, avatar me now, please.
What if they yeah. pivot into something that's like not even deck boxes at all? It's like,
I would love to hear what they're doing.
We've gotten into the instant coffee market. You can go ahead Let's and go. Purchase our Bone Box instant coffee. It comes in How's one of our taste? Deck boxes.
I'm there.
Hey, honestly, I'm there. Okay, hold on a second. Yeah. If it comes in the deck box, but not all loose and stuff, and you don't have to clean it out or whatever, like in a little bag, now mm-hmm. I'm listening. Mm-hmm. I don't drink coffee, but you know who does? My girlfriend. And then it becomes a little bit more of a justified purchase to be like, see, I got you coffee. No, this, it's just a nice little box. They sent it. Don't worry about it.
Put your engagement ring in there. Just be like,
don't worry about it.
So shout out Bonebox Games, discount code BOLDCAST. And that is it for sponsor talk. That's it. We're not sponsor talking no more right now. So shout out to that one guy. It was just one guy who complained. Michael, you said you had a fucking story. Sorry, Ken. Let's fucking sorry, Ken. Talk about a fucking story. Thank you. Sorry, Ken.
Mike. Yes. I'm leaning real close into my mic here so that you can, so that it's intimate, you know.
Mike, I can't believe it.
What are you doing?
Mike, I have a confession to make.
What's the confession?
I don't often play test the decks I write about against other people before I post them.
I mean, I can't imagine you'd have the time.
No, I don't often do it. I've built up a very specific, particular set of skills over the years that'll let me know whether or not something will probably play well. Mm-hmm. I also know when things I write won't play well. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I know Opal Eye is a ridiculous deck that probably won't work, but it's fun to see. I got a new playgroup recently, and I've been playing with them. So I started playing some of my deck lists that I haven't played with other people.
Okay, all right.
And I'm a fucking problem.
Sorry, Ken.
Tell me more, and sorry, Ken.
Like, I played my Go-Go deck. What this deck does, it's with Go-Go, Master of Mimicry. It's a creature that has, XX, tap. You copy a activated or triggered ability X times, right? So if you have 2 mana, you get 1 copy. If you have 4 mana, you get 2 copies and so on and so forth. What that does is it copies like Terramorphic Expanse and Evolving Wilds. So you get, instead of getting just one island out of it, you could get 2 or 3. And obviously, since you're making more mana with every fetchland you play, it kind of grows on itself until you get to like 18 islands. And at that point, you can reasonably win the game, right?
Okay.
So I was playing against an Ur-Dragon deck, you know, never a good thing to play against.
No.
And, you know, there was an Ur-Dragon turn.
I will say it's not never a good thing to play against. I like the Ur-Dragon, but
I
some people really, really love to really take advantage of that bad boy.
This is a minor side point, but I like playing against Ur-Dragon more than I like playing against Pantlaza.
Honestly, I co-sign that completely. I think so. Yeah.
And I agree. In terms of Eminence Commanders, it's like the one Eminence Commander that people actually want to cast. And I like that. But anyway, back to the point. There was an Ur-Dragon turn, you know. They had Draco Genesis on board, which meant all of the dragons were free.
Right. Okay.
So there were like 10 dragons.
So why
swinging.
Even use the Ur-Dragon?
There were like 10 dragons for the colors. There were 10 dragons swinging and, you know, they were going to go ahead and pop down another permanent from the Ur-Dragon trigger, from the attack trigger. And I'm like, I've got this. I've got an Aether Spouts in hand. All of these are going back to the hand. And I'm like, oh, why aren't you swinging with Savage Ventmaw and Hellkite Tyrant? You know, you'll get 2 extra combats since that creates almost enough mana to get another extra combat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could just keep doing that. You'll get 2 extra combats. You'll kill the table, which was both yes, you could do this. It's good for you. You're a new player. You're a relatively new player. This will teach you that your deck can kill people with multiple combats. But I was also goading them into putting into getting everything on top with Aether Spouts. But they ripped Dragonlord Dromoka off of it, right? So I can't cast spells during their turn anymore.
Good.
And I'm like, well, I'm going to die.
Yeah. Sorry, Ken.
And I was like, I really hate to do this, but I do have an out. I tap and copy like 18 times an Arcanus, so I'm drawing 54 cards. I find the Odawara. I use the channeled ability, which is not a spell, to bounce the Dromoka, and then Aether Spouts the attacking creatures. But now I've got 54 cards in hand, and I'm like, I can't realistically, you know, I can't sandbag this game. I have to win now. It would be disingenuous.
And so how'd you take the win?
Everyone seemed to be in good spirits, which made me happy. You know, I enjoy playing with this new play group. I really think they're amazing people. But when there's like this gulf between what I think the deck is capable of doing and what it's actually capable of doing, on top of the fact that, you know, it's really hard for a lot of people to match like 6 years of experience in creating commander decks for an audience that are meant to be played and enjoyed. It's rough. Am I the bolus, Mike?
For making decks that are shockingly good.
Like, I'm like, I'll play a $25 deck. This won't be a problem. I had 20 detectives on the field. 20. If you committed a crime, I would know about it. Sorry, Ken.
But also hilarious. I think that the real bolus move is from you goading the attack for the Aether Spouts. Truly, what it is to me is like, they ripped Dromoka, which, by the way, you could I guess you could have just done like in response to that trigger the Aether Spouts, because they have to be declared attacking when the Ur Dragon is doing it. But either way, all I'm saying here is that, like, I think that there is this dichotomy between you wanting to show somebody what their deck can do and also being like this, like, hey, come on, attack with everything. You could kill us all just so you can bounce them all to the hand.
Well, here's the thing. I do it in response to the Ur Dragon trigger.
Yeah.
He draws all the cards back from the Ur Dragon because all of the attacking dragons just get drawn again. And then the Dracogenesis plays them all for free. So it's not like he really loses anything except the one attack, right?
Sure. But it's still like a valuable attack, I guess. It's like it just the idea of being like, hey, I'm making this attack and I'm holding these guys back. And it's like, oh, well, did you know that if you attack with this, you get this? Oh, that's interesting. Sure, I guess if you're telling me this, coast must be clear.
Could this not be a multifaceted, like, lesson? It's like, yes, I teach you what your deck does, but I also teach you that sometimes you shouldn't swing out all the time.
I didn't realize we were talking to Sensei Tabletop over here, buddy. And like, it's like,
to Sensei Tabletop when I'm attempting to justify my own sins, Mike.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is, like, this is reminding me of a guy that, there was this guy I mentioned in an article a while back who fancies himself a bit of a teacher, and my buddy Zach doesn't really play Magic all that much, but he loves Baldur's Gate and was interested in doing a commander draft. And so we went, and I was like, did you brush up on the set? He was like, very little bit, but I don't like to know things going in fully because I want it to all be a surprise. I'm like, great. And he's seated next to this guy that finds out that he is new and he's taking his time. And this guy would peek over and look at his draft pack. And every time he'd get past something from Zach, he'd be like, oh my God, this is still in the pack. Like, let me see what you picked.
That's different. That's obnoxious.
Right. But this is the thing is, he did similar things to what you're describing in game. But this is a guy that I cannot stand. I had to play him recently at a pre-release event anyway, whole other thing. Point is, all I'm saying is, like, yeah, teaching somebody something is one thing. You're in a new play group, so you're like learning the dynamics there and stuff. And at some point you'll solidify yourself as like a part, you're part of that playgroup now, and like you're learning each other and stuff. And part of learning you is that you are interested in these rules interactions and showing them off because they are cool. You're totally right. But when you're coming at it with like a, I'm going to teach this person a thing, I'm less interested in hearing about that. I think it's more like, hey, I personally am fascinated by this interaction. I personally think that this part is really cool and I want to share that, is different from I'm going to teach this person something. And that's where I think the disconnect in this story for me is, because it's one thing to be like, oh, so you got Savage Ventmon this thing out. And he's like, what do you mean? You're like, oh shit, you don't know, this is sick, I love this combo, you know. Yeah. That's it. Versus did you, I'm gonna teach you, you know, I'm gonna, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if somebody said that to me, I'd be like immediately like, all right, I'm moving on, like, you know, we can have class later, that kind of thing. Because maybe the person doesn't care, or maybe they're like, let's keep it moving, you know, let's see what happens, like,
maybe
for this
playing
thing.
Dumb,
right? True. And I mean, you know, first move should just be like,
I mean, I never thought of it that way. Yeah. I think that's a good thing to keep in mind, you know? I don't want to, like, aggressively tutorialize anything.
Sure.
It's part of the, it's, like, one of those scenarios where sometimes a rules interaction will come in, like, the difference between as something enters and when it enters, when it, you know, enters, and then there's, like, a panharmonicon, and I'm like, I regret to inform you that this doesn't work the way that you want.
That things have to happen
and
differently.
I'm always sad when that happens, you know?
But it's, that's like, fair.
I would love for it to work the way you want. And I guess mean, mentally, kind of how... I haven't like differentiated between this is something you could do and this is something that is part of the rules. Because there's also been situations where this Ur-Dragon player has like really been dominating because it's the Ur-Dragon and they're doing well with it, and you know they're playing well. But they still want like a little help making good choices. When I was being the villain, they would get help from the rest of the table as to how to sequence like playing Terror of the Peaks first to get a kill, right?
Right.
And that's kind of where I was approaching it from, you know?
Sure. I think that to me, like, it's kind of like how my position in the playgroup is solidified as like, something weird's come up, let's ask Mike, he's the most familiar with it. Or like they'll look to me and be like, does this work? And I'll be like, yes or no. But I also think that there's a level of like, if someone's like, I really don't know how to do this, but I think I have it, and I'm like, let's talk about it, let me help you out, if that's of interest. It sounds like you're putting that out there. If that's being put out there, then sure, absolutely chime in. There's no reason to not give them that information. Also, to be as objective as you can be, like when it comes to like, you know, if I am the threat at the table, that doesn't mean that you don't get to use me as the resource that you use normally. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to ignore the fact that, yes, I'm a threat. And yes, I'm in a winning position. If you're like, I don't know how to sequence this, but I think I have this. Can you help me out with this? You're entirely who I want to target. And I'll be like, of course, but also... sorry, Ken. And then you know, I help you out. But, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, if you're sitting down and you stare down somebody's deck and you go, aha, a teachable moment. No.
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 No, that's not what I intended to do, you know?
Yeah, but you said like, a multifaceted lesson. Let's not forget this.
Multifaceted lesson
you
is a
up.
Killer choice of words, too. Yeah,
I've been super
multifaceted
I've been found out.
Multifaceted lesson is Ick City, buddy. That hit me.
Well, I mean, the person who is playing is new, and they've been really, there's really been this sign, this kind of, we're gonna like help each other figure out building the deck, because they built their own Ur-Dragon deck and they did a really good job, you know.
Nice.
And I'm, you know, there's sort of this element of we're all like kind of some of the people in the group are learning to play and that sort of thing. Yeah, you know, but I'll keep that in mind. I do agree with you that it sounds pretentious and like an asshole thing to do. So sorry, Ken. So,
I mean, I think you're fine, though. It's like the thing is, ultimately, would I be like, you're the bolus here? I'd be like, scale this kind of behavior back and you're fine. It's not like you're not being malicious. You're not being... a jerk to like want to help somebody. However, in the context of this story, setting up your own aether spouts to hit more stuff, I understand that the impact is lower because they have the Draco Genesis and they'll just like put stuff back down. You know, they just lose out on a combat and they still get to go to combat to get the Ur Dragon trigger. Sure. But it's still kind of like, aha, I got you and I have been deceitful. And that
this
is
reminds
just
me
not-
that. This reminds me of that one story of the pre-release where I told someone else to attack with everything and they did. And I really should stop telling people to attack with things.
People should stop
listening to me.
You heard it here first, folks. If you ever play against Michael Solani, don't attack him. Oh, this is big brain now.
Yep.
Oh, Galaxy. I see you're playing 4D chess. Galaxy
see,
Brian
the trick,
happening
the
here.
The trick is I look like a little bit of an asshole now. So that I can become more of an asshole later.
This guy's got solitary confinement on the battlefield without having the card or the drawback now. Nobody touches you.
But for everyone in that playgroup, I really adore playing with them. I'm trying to do as much as I can to make things feel like a good game, you know? Like yeah, I always try and ask people, it's like, did you have fun playing? Are you enjoying yourself? That sort of thing.
Yeah, and perfect. You know,
sometimes I worry.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But at some point you sit in your rhythm. You know what I mean? You're going to ask less of those questions, but you'll still need to check in from time to time. But for now, it's understandable that you guys are still getting to know each other and you're like checking in a little bit more often and saying like, this was fun for me. I need to understand whether or not this is something that would work for you next time as well, you know? And, to your point of like building these decks and not always getting to play test them, you build complicated and strange decks. That is the appeal of what your work is. You put together such interesting projects. It is like, talk about being creative with Magic. It is like art. You are putting yourself into these decks because of the way that you construct these puzzles that you have to like, You know, it like, here's why I'm doing this. This weird interaction here, let's exploit that. Let's see what, like, nobody's built it like this, and for good reason, it's a mess. But if you're going to play X equals zero Soul Tie, have I got a deck for you? You know what I mean?
You will not believe this, but one of the members of the playgroup actually played that against me. Like, the exact deck.
From
my
list. Built or
yeah.
like your
they,
deck
they,
or they
showed
built
me the
it.
Deck list later and it had Paradise Lost, a card that nobody knows about, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is my deck. And the sad thing was, here's what happened. They played the Poison Tip Archer.
Yeah,
so that's an Aristocrat's payoff.
Yeah,
then they played Zaxara and I'm like, right. Okay, I know what this deck is. Then they played a Morph face down, which is not what the deck is supposed to do. There is exactly one card that does that, and I'm like, hey, you really shouldn't play Grim Horror Specs face down. That's not that doesn't help you in this case. Which I would consider a gigantic red flag that I knew what the deck was. But that just kind of bounced off, which is fine.
Did they recognize, did you mention like, hey, this is a deck that I built on, like, did you build this deck? Or did they admit to
no
like,
I just kind of let that go until the end of the game. I was like, I didn't.
And then at the end of the game, I mean, in general, have you had a conversation about being like, that Zaxara deck, did you build that yourself or did you watch an incredible video by somebody whose voice might sound familiar?
They actually misattributed it. They actually figured, give me a second.
Ken, leave this in. Ken,
nope,
leave it all
Ken,
in.
Ken, don't.
Leave it all in.
Ken, this is unlistenable to people.
Okay, Morgan leaves the vote. Vote, Morgan.
Yes, do it.
Nice.
We need to provide context, so say all the words you possibly can.
They actually made a mistake about who made it. They thought it was a Chips and Guac video.
I see. Like,
they were adamant about it. I'm like, did Chips and Guac steal my deck? So I looked through it. It's like, no, Chips and Guac wouldn't do that. Chips and Guac is a sweetheart. And I'm like, I felt bad because I knew what the deck was, and I had a Lion Sash, which shuts that deck down
pretty well. Yeah.
And I knew what to exile to shut the deck down because it's like, yeah, I know him. He's me. So
yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and exile those 2-0 cost permanents you just played from your graveyard. It's like,
Yeah. Whoopsie. Yeah. I mean, it's such a fun, cool deck though. If you haven't watched that video, go to Games Freak SA on YouTube and watch that video.
But enough, I think, enough about me. We've got to do an actual mailbag, right?
We have a mailbag, and you know what? This long conversation means we're not going to talk about anything new preview-wise, because we also haven't really gotten much. So let's dive into the mailbag. This one is from the article I posted October 22nd called Now Get Out of My House. And it's, you know what? The comments were a little bit more wordy and demanded further context. So Michael, I think you're gonna like this, but I will say
I'm a big fan of context.
Hell yeah.
Let's talk about it. So here we go. Submission time. It's time to go here now. Dear Mike, the context. He starts off immediately. My friends and I are getting older and many of us have kids, so we don't get to play often and can't always get everyone to the table. The time we do get to play is therefore quite valuable. We typically play casual bracket 2 or 3, many of us running with modified precons, and in most cases, we know each other's decks reasonably well, unless someone just got a new precon, for example. Call me Player A. I usually organize and host the game, and in this case, we're playing at my home. I had asked a few people and managed to get 4 together for a game. One player, let's say Player B, has in the past played various games competitively, including Magic. In my opinion, he finds it hard to step back from that competitive mindset and play at a more casual level. This is where we run into our issue. It might have been an hour or so into the game, Player B's turn. He'd been taking a long time deciding on his plays for several turns now and asked to see my graveyard. His deck doesn't run graveyard recursion, and neither do I. I always make people aware when I have a big flashback or whatever card in my graveyard anyway, so I laughed as I passed my graveyard over and told him he doesn't need to check graveyards and to just make his play. I am known to be the guy that asks everyone to hurry up on their turns, including my partner. I like a fast game, and I believe it's respectful to others to keep the game moving at a reasonable pace, especially when it's just a casual game. Player B took this as a deep personal offense and said some accusatory and incendiary things to me. I said the game is over, Player B left, and I apologized to Player C and D. We're not here to bolus or not bolus Player B, but suffice it to say I've made up my mind and don't intend to play with Player B again or even interact socially with them, and they won't be invited to games I organize. Am I the bolus for, 1, calling out Player B on slowing the game by unnecessarily card counting graveyards, 2, essentially removing Player B from our playgroup and in large part our social circle, since I organize and host a good portion of the time? If Player B made amends, I would consider inviting them back to give them another chance, but no promises, and I won't hurry them up again, though. Or am I the bolus for 3, also firing back during the incident and yell and telling Player B they should chill out, play casual, and try giving a shit, sorry Ken, about other players' time. Best regards, Player A. Note that the sorry Ken was in the article submission. So shout out.
It was
thank
very
you, Player
sweet.
A.
Yes.
It made us happy to see it. Shout out to Ken, our sweet, sweet Ken. Now, I've already written about this one. I have an opinion on this one already cemented. However, I'm in agreement with a lot of the comments in here, some of which I will not be reading because they're just too long. However, I'd like to get your take on this. Morgan, Michael, who wants to go first?
Yeah, I think let me just tell you my initial thought process with this, because this has happened to me a lot, right? Like, I've been on both sides of this equation, and neither one feels particularly prickly in the instance, but I think I would personally be really not upset in a mad way, but upset in kind of like a sad way if somebody called me out to, you don't need to check my graveyard because there's nothing in there. Because I will tell you anecdotally, every single time I've said, well, let me take a look because maybe, I'm thinking about other things. Maybe I forgot what's in there, right? I forget what's been happening, whether it's, the second turn or the 200th turn, right? And then all of a sudden I see something like, oh, hey, this has flashback. Oh, hey, this has like a stipulation. Oh, hey, oh, I forgot about that. Well, see, this is why we check, right? And this is why you have to kind of give somebody the ability to check and not ideally
it's
be
public
super
information.
Exactly. Be super upset with them. I mean, for the record, always ask, right? Like I've been playing Magic for a long time. I play Magic with you guys and I'm always going to ask you like, hey, can I see your graveyard? I'm not going to just go and take it. I think that that's a completely different issue. But I mean, you
we're full on pals. Yeah, we're buddies, and I wouldn't be offended if you did that. But I appreciate that you asked.
But I'm still going to ask because I'm never going to touch somebody's cards without asking them. That's just like my general rule. I hope that that's a rule for everyone else too, because otherwise you look kind of like, you know, it's a little crazy.
It is their property.
Yeah, and so
even when people borrow a deck of mine, I ask to check the graveyard.
But
if
even like
they're playing with my physical cards, I'm still asking.
If we're looking at it like, you know, say Mike doesn't want me to touch his graveyard. Okay, well, can you lay it out for me so that I can see it, right? Like if the issue is maybe something like, and I'm only bringing this up contextually because maybe this is a part of why they're upset. They're like, I don't want somebody touching my cards. I don't want somebody looking through my stuff, whatever it is, right? The fact of the matter is game rules say
in my reach sort of thing. You
yes,
know?
Exactly. The fact of the matter is it is within the game rules. You do and are supposed to show me when I ask, right? Whenever that may be. Ideally, it's not stopping somebody's combo from going off or whatever, right? But I think the reaction here to somebody's graveyard having been gone through, you know, when they say, oh, there's nothing in there that's going to make this relevant. I don't know. That makes me kind of disappointed for that reason, because I've been with people who are like that. They get a little testy about it. They're like, you don't need to be looking through my stuff. And it's like, are you being nefarious? Or are you just being a person? Sorry, Ken. You know, and or are you trying to hide something? Like, there's a reason this is public information. Yeah. It's for all of those reasons, by the way.
I will note that the player A, you know, tells player B while handing the graveyard over, like, there's nothing in here.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's not complying with it. He's just kind of like, this feels like a waste of time.
Yes.
But go ahead. You know?
And I also don't necessarily agree with that either, because it's not a slow play type of action. It's an information gathering action. Okay. If it takes you 10 minutes to go through five cards in the graveyard, again, separate
issue.
That's
a different story.
But if I'm like, hey, Mike, let me see what you got in there. And I'm like,
and I hand over a thick pile of 30 cards.
We're done. And that's it. Okay. Yeah. I don't see anything with flashback. I don't see any stipulations. I don't, you know what? You're right. And that's how the conversation
ends. There's
nothing
I can diluvian primordial out.
Exactly. Like it's all just chilling. And now I have some information about what's in your graveyard. It's fresh in my mind. We go to the next turn. You know, maybe I think like, oh, he's got something in there that maybe I want. Maybe, you know, if nobody else is playing recursion or any type of thing, maybe somebody else is in the pod. Right. So all in all, it's all good information to know. Something you should be able to know. A bunch of different reasons why it's public information. I think if there's any kind of inflammatory response, that's to me like disappointing and unfortunate. And I hope that that doesn't happen to me in a game with, especially a casual game, you know, because you're saying the inflammatory response maybe in response to a casual game, let's speed things up. I don't necessarily agree with that because I'm like, it is casual. So let me see the graveyard. Let me double check. Yeah. I know you say there's nothing in there, but there's so many other reasons as to why me getting access to that information is valuable. So
totally. And would it make this go a lot faster if we're not arguing over it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Good point. Michael, where are you at with this? What are you thinking?
I'm starting to notice a theme of just among these mailbag episodes we've done of like people being, oh, I've got to be respectful of my time. You know, everything's taking too much time. This is taking a long time to do. You know, it's like people are in the tank too long. These games are going on forever. I'm going to say a bit of a hot take here. If you don't have like a good amount, a good chunk of time to sit down and play Commander, it is probably not the Magic format you want to be playing consistently.
Thank you.
I understand that as adults, we have a lot more responsibilities. You know, if you have kids, that's even harder to get a time in, but you know, your time is valuable. And I don't want to dismiss that.
However,
but EDH itself is a format that just takes a long time. It just is. It's like you can't just sit down and be like, I want to watch something casual on TV, something that won't take a lot of my attention, you know, something that won't last forever. I'm going to turn on The Godfather, you know, like that. It just doesn't. You're trying to make something out of something that it isn't, you know, it's not going to. It's not going to magically become a faster game just because you want it to be. Right. Some decks are complicated. Some decks will have lots of triggers that, regardless of how fast the individual player plays, there's still a lot of bookkeeping. You have to put a lot of counters on something. You have to create a lot of tokens. I'm not saying that you shouldn't really force someone to be unable to play with those kinds of decks simply because you want to have a faster game. If you want a four pot of Boros decks that ends in like 10 minutes, you can ask for that. Mm-hmm. But you have to make sure that everybody is on board with that before they go into the game. It's like, we want to have something that's quick. I've had games where it's like, all right, I want to get this over with. We're all going to play decks that win turn six or whatever. And that'll happen and it'll be fine. But
I will say, I agree with you completely. And this is the kind of thing that Jumpstart seems to be perfect for. Like, if you don't have a lot of time, like for, or CDH, maybe you don't want it to be casual. Maybe you need it to be everybody knows their deck in and out and is playing CDH, where games regularly end on turn three, and games are like, can go, yes, they can be longer if you're playing somebody who slows things down, but they end up taking like 40 minutes if they're really, you know, there's a lot going on. So,
and like, I know how that could be a problem. You know, I empathize with this guy because I've been in games where people take 20 minutes. That's an exaggeration. Where people take like 10 minutes to do their turn,
and it gets to me an hour,
and I'm like, Commander, pass, go ahead. You know, that sort of turn, right? And there are decks that really facilitate that sort of interaction where it's like, it gets to your turn, you don't have to make a lot of choices, you play your cards, you pass, that's it.
You've already planned your turn as well. Now, here's the other thing, though. There's a couple factors here to consider. One, time is valuable because they have kids, they don't get to play often. Two, they are insistent on casual bracket two or three environment, mainly modifying precons, which means that they're all pretty familiar with each other's decks. There's a player who played competitively and does not want to, you know, we'll try to play to his outs, you know? And so that's where the slowdown happens is, you know, it's crunch time near the end of the game. It's time to figure out if you can win or not. And player A is essentially saying, stop looking at my graveyard. You're not going to win. There's nothing there for you to see that's going to change this. But player B is saying, I might be able to win. I need to know that I'm doing that because get this, buddy. People enjoy the game differently. Isn't that wild? People enjoy different aspects of this incredibly fucking complicated game. Sorry, Ken. It's literally, look, we are 30 plus years deep on this game, and that's the card pool for this format. If you say casual, it means there's no meta. It means there might be cards that are out there that are being played that have crazy interactions with different things. And if somebody upgrades their precon one more time and adds one card, it might be a recursion piece. How do you not know? How do you know for sure that they didn't add something? And also, why would player B offer up that information to you when you're being so snarky and whatever? Now,
what
here's
if they
the
put
other
the Diluvian Primordial in.
Exactly.
It's just a card
I chose.
Totally. And it's one that shows up in precons. It's available. The other thing is there's so much magic out now, and design has gotten exceedingly complicated. There are precon cards made for a precon where we know it for a particular mode, but it has three modes. You know what I mean? Like there are cards in Magic where you think this is all it does, but then you're like, oh, whoops, there is that second line of text that doesn't come up often. This might be one of those times. There are split cards in pre-cons where you think, I'm never going to use this side of it, and then turns out, oh, yeah, I'm using both sides. And it's just, it's possible. So this is my problem with this story, because is he the bolus for kicking someone out of his house? I will say no. Because we don't know what was said, and he's saying it was incendiary and accusatory, and it sounds like voices got raised, and, you know, the player left, was kicked out, and is no longer part of the playgroup. I will say, if somebody comes at me in my own home, this is my house, I don't need to consult anybody, get out of my house. Mm-hmm. However, it's a heated moment, which means that there's going to have to be some stepping back needed, and on top of it, there are two other people there who watch the whole thing. Maybe let everybody take a break and cool down. Everybody gets to have a conversation and decides, what about the future of this? maybe we talk to player B and find out what's happening and see if maybe there's some house rules we can put in place. Or like, hey, I made a change to my deck. I have to announce it. Now you know there's recursion. Or, you know, I wrote Not the Bolus because of kicking somebody out.
Yeah.
I think that part, Not the Bolus. I can't backtrack on that because, you know, whatever. I will say that if someone is giving you lip because you're pressuring them to play the game the way you want to play the game after you guys have sat down and have been playing and you have said that, you know, this is somebody that you play with often, you invited them over, you know their deck in and out to the point where you're making claims based on this, yeah, maybe you need to fucking chill. Sorry, Ken. Maybe you do need to, like, take a second and, like, be less of a driver over here. You're like, it reminds me of Ogre Battle Driver, where it's like this thing is on top of something's back and whipping it. You're like, fucking, let's get it.
Sorry,
Ogre
Ken.
Battle Driver is a card. Whatever.
Oh, okay. I had the weirdest look on my face. I'm like, is this another property?
No, it's
is this Ogre the new Universes Beyond?
No, Ogre Battle Driver is like from like Magic 2014. It's one that I had in my Grand Warlord Rata deck because it's another haste enabler. It's so whenever another creature enters, it gets +2/+0 and haste.
So ooh, that does sound good.
It's really good.
It's basically what OP was trying to do. To get this guy to hurry up. Like, let's get some...
Yeah.
And, Jesus.
And keep in mind that, like, yes, I do think you're the bolus if you are telling somebody to play faster in a situation like this where they're just trying to get more information. Like, that's my, like, wrap-up of this, in my opinion. Because in the article, in the question from OP, the number three is, am I the bolus for also firing back during the incident and telling player B they could chill out, play casual, and try giving a bleep about other players' time? Yeah, I think so. I think so, because in this context, right, guys, looking at the graveyard.
Context matters.
If Mike is like, hey, Mike, let me see your graveyard. And like, well, there's nothing in there. Well, let me see it. Well, can you hurry up? Like, that's a bad conversation, you guys. Much. Like, it's just like, I think, too, I'm going to give people the benefit of the doubt as well, because I think that we're all inherently good and we are all trying to a certain extent to not waste each other's time. That if I'm going through a graveyard, and maybe I'm thinking of some things. Somebody was like, OK, can you hurry up? Like, are you done? That just feels bad, you guys. Okay, because most people know when they're in the tank, and they're like, 99% of the time, so I'll be like, okay, sorry guys, like I'm just trying to like, you know, figure this one out. I'm trying to see something here. I'll be done in a second.
This will happen to me when I'm taking a ton of game actions because I like to build an engine that just like churns through stuff. But I don't play tutors. I don't play tutors because I like to build the engines. And if I build an engine, I don't want it to be plug and play, and I go search for them, and then that's it. So often what will happen is I will be digging for something in particular that can close out a game, and I'll have to take a bit of a longer turn than usual, but it is, for all intents and purposes, the end of the game. I'm just showing you that I can get there, and if I whiff, great, now I have this huge target on my back, and I get knocked out, and that's that. That's how that goes. But if someone's like, what are you looking for? I can say, here is what I'm looking for. Like, If the question comes to me and I'm
like,
looking,
do you have
somebody,
any instance in your graveyard?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly it. What happens is I'll play Rakdos to Muscle and I'm exiling stuff off of people's top of the library, or I'm exiling stuff from my library, their library, you know, and I'll be like, I'm picking you because I'm looking specifically for a sword so I can get rid of that thing. And then I'll be like, on my side of things, I'm looking for this sack outlet in particular because I need to stop losing life from the Warren Soul Trader. And then I'm also looking for Micaeus so I can loop these two things back and forth, and then that's it. Then I'll have infinite, and then I'll be able to have infinite mana, and I'll cast this one big thing. That's what I'm looking for. But I'm also going to be able to exile the rest of your libraries, and that'll be the end of the game. Again, 9 cards on the table that are needed to make this all happen, but that's my goal. I will illustrate what my goal is. I will tell you what this is. I am in the tank, but if you want to be in the tank with me, come be part of the process, but don't tell me to hurry up. Don't, because I'm going as fast as I can. I also don't want to fuck up. Sorry, Ken. And I'm asking for information. So if you're sitting there across from me going, well, stop looking at my graveyard, you won't find anything there. And I go, do you know whether or not I made a change to this deck? You might know it perfectly well, but I have access to every library right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is this what you want?
I think I really do agree with the sentiment that people who are in the tank, they're generally anxious about the fact that they're in the tank.
Yep.
Like, they don't want to be in the tank any more than you don't want them to
There's
be in the
so
tank.
Much stigma
it
to,
takes
to,
so much time, you yeah. know? And yep.
people
you
hate
become
having
aware
things
of
slowed
it.
Down. People hate having that happen, and they don't want to be the reason it happens.
Yes.
People just don't hate being seen as... people just hate being seen as someone who's, like, being annoying or being a burden or taking up people's time.
Yep.
They're doing their best. Give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
That's what I would have to say about this.
Totally. But and in this given, case...
Given that we've said so much about this, Mike, do you think we are at a point where we can do votes or...
Oh, totally. But I will say to the reason I brought this story to the mailbag is because it would be nice to have a lot more context. It would be nice. And you know, you're back here with me and I just want to say, you're right, Michael. Context matters. It does.
At the end of the day, once you get out the tank,
it do matter.
Like if that guy, if he comes back and it turns out that guy was just like swearing up a storm, like, yeah, kick that asshole out. But
I mean, I swear all the time, but if I'm swearing about something stupid,
but you swear in like a funny way, you say like ding dong,
ding-a-ling. Yeah. Sorry,
ding-a-ling.
Ken. That's probably not good. Somewhere that's probably not good. Sorry, Ken. I have to add that one to the tank, to the bank.
Yeah, the word right. Bank. That's not worth it. We got
from now on, whenever
what
we say ding-a-ling, bleep it.
Yep.
Not from now on. Let people know we're bleeping ding-a-ling and then now bleep it. But we're not even saying it all that much. How often
in solidarity,
do
you
even say ding-a-ling?
You never know. There's a good
All right.
Oh, it's a running
chance.
Joke now. But
all right,
but voting time.
Listen up, you dings. We're going to go to votes. Morgan, you're up first. How are you leaning here?
Again, I have to make a choice. I have to make a choice mm-hmm. based on what OP wanted to mm-hmm. have us figure out.
Yep.
I'm going to say Bolas. I'm sorry.
Okay, fair. Good.
I am going to say Bolas. That's going to be my vote.
I mean, I am very... You saying it's my house, I can kick them out if I want, is a very persuasive argument to me. I think I have to let that go, though, because...
Yeah,
I'm going to say Bolas. Like, I can't say not the Bolas in this case. Mm-hmm. At least give the guy another chance.
Yeah.
Like, if there was a no Bolas is here option, I might be more inclined to take that. But
you know
without
what?
Knowing what was said, Bolas.
That's how I originally felt. When I wrote the article, I put not the Bolas. I completely was like, the house thing, that kind of trumps it all to me. We're going to go not the Bolas. We're going to go, we need more context. Maybe this guy was saying some obscene stuff or whatever. But at the same time, all this other stuff, this is one of the first articles in a long time where I thought maybe it'd be worth me redoing it and talking it out and saying like, look, you know what? Now that I really thought about this, this point about needing public information and, you know, the idea of the anxiety of being in the tank and then the idea that somebody who is likely in a commanding position is calling for somebody to move quickly to say, you know, you don't need this. You're not going to like this won't help you to speed things up. You know, it's just like I get being in the tank. I get wanting to win. It's part of why we play the game. You have a goal. The goal is to win, or you have a different kind of goal and you need to get there somehow. I think that this behavior is Bolas behavior. And if you are so pressed for time, this should not be the format you're playing. I don't think that if you have an hour and a half to play a game, you guys better be breaking out the aggro decks and not having any fucking hard feelings. Sorry, Ken. No debating targets. Just let people play their thing. And that's that. Like, I don't know that you have the time for this in the game. But if you want the full commander experience, you want a politic, you want to have everybody pops off and does their thing, a real casual bracket two scenario, buddy, let me tell you something.
You want to give multifaceted hours. Lessons?
Yeah, exactly. You need 3 hours set aside. And if you don't have that kind of time, buddy, wait for the kids to be a little bit older and get them to play. I just don't see this being the right way to go. I think that you should have some expectations set if this is how you're approaching it. I think that if you are saying that we only have this much time, then you as a group should come to a consensus about how to behave together in a way that you can enforce as house rules so that nobody feels like this is out of line if this is ever to happen again, because clearly it was offensive to player B to be handed a graveyard and told speed the fuck up. Excuse me. Sorry, Ken. It's not cool. I think that you should all have a conversation about house rules and maximum turns or minimum turn length or, you know, like whatever. I just don't see this as being a healthy environment with you at the helm shouting people down for just playing the game the way the rules say that you can play the game. Sure, he's slowing it down, but how long is a long turn to you? We don't have that information. Was it 40 minutes? Did you guys hold up for 40 minutes? That feels stupid and insane. Was it 4 minutes when the regular turn length for the rest of the table is a minute and a half? That'll feel way long, but is it really all that long of a turn in the grand scheme of things? Sound like your argument might have taken a lot more time and robbed you of another game. What's this? You know, you're hurting yourself. Quit being a fucking dick. Sorry, Ken. This is bullshit. And I'm sorry, Ken. I'm sorry to the writer. And I really regret giving this a not the bolus in the article. I didn't give this like the big, you know,
the big brain think.
I definitely pulled myself back because, like I said, I write these articles really quickly, but I write them quickly because my first instinct is I go in real hard and then I pare back. And sometimes I pare back a little too much. And in this case, I really, really rested on the house thing, the home, get out of my house, get out of my home. You're no longer welcome here. You can't be the bolus for that. That is your protected space. But I will say your behavior contributed to this and it's not fair. And you are the bolus. Player A, if you're listening, it sounds like you are, given your submission in, the article series. I'm sorry to double tap, and I apologize for the couple weeks of you feeling like you're okay.
And who's the real bolus now, Mike?
Hey, look, man, I'm not infallible. What do you want from me? Sorry, Ken. I'm just saying, if you're listening to this, player A, there's a couple things that we brought up, and yes, I'm shooting from the hip, so I'm not like the kids' gloves aren't on or anything, but I'm most definitely giving it to you straight. I think it's unfair the way that this person was treated from what I understand of it in the context that was provided. If you would like to clarify, you're more than welcome to email us again at amithebolus@gmail.com. Provide us with information on what a long turn looks like to you, and also provide us with information about what's the policy for you guys including new cards in your decks? You know, are there any house rules? What is a long turn? How does that look for you? What is the things that he said on the way out or told, like what kind of things were levied, thrown your way? Did you have a conversation with players C and D? What does everybody think?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I feel like that's good. And that does it for us today.
Yeah. Both me and Mike screwed up in this past couple of weeks. So really the only true Ugin here is Morgan.
Hey guys, if I had a creature type, it'd be human. Don't even worry about it. You know what I mean? All right. That does it. Everybody check us out online at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza, Twitter, Instagram, Blue Sky, all the good stuff. Anywhere you can find my comedy. Greatly appreciate you checking out my stand-up, my album Cherubic. Check out my column, Am I the Bolus, over on edhrec.com. And I've got this podcast, so give us a follow at Am I the Bullcast on Blue Sky, and be sure to submit to amithebolus@gmail.com. Morgan, where would you like to point people towards?
I do be at Blue Sky at Indigo Gentleman with hot takes, opinions, mm-hmm. and like general whining and complaining, as always.
Mm-hmm. And Michael.
You can find all of my stuff at gamesfreaksa.info. Those are the letters essay and not the word.
That's right. And you know what is up. It is time to scoot the day. Bye-bye, everybody.